I've shared with our CEO today a verse that I think I'd shared before. I think it's Proverbs 21:22. It says, the wise man goes after the city, scales the city, and takes down the stronghold in which they trust. There are a lot of people who say, well, that's dangerous. You can't win. Let's go after this over here. Let's go after this over here. Which if your goal is just to go after some things and pass some things, then that's great to do. But you know, when somebody trusts in something and you can take the thing they trust away from them, now you've put them in a place where they might look up and say, oh, and what will I now trust? You see? And so one of the things people trust in is the Supreme Court to put into effect policy that can't otherwise be enacted through representative government. And so that's led to this notion of judicial supremacy.
Yeah.
And that's what gets thrown in my face all the time. Well, you can't do that because the court's already ruled on abortion. Well, there's no point in fighting on same-sex marriage because the court's already ruled. Let's move on. And to be honest, when it comes to marriage, every Christian organization in America, bar none, has moved on. Nobody is dealing with judicial supremacy arising out of the court's marriage decision.
Yeah. You want to tell everybody what judicial supremacy is? Just expand on that. Yeah. I want to make sure everybody, it's people, we throw that out a lot, but what does it mean?
Yeah. Judicial supremacy is a notion that really didn't exist until the late 1950s.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, there were some bubblings up of it, but it's the notion that the Supreme Court is the final arbiter of the Constitution, and its opinions equate to or become the equivalent of the Constitution. And so they become the supreme law of the land. So that's what I see on abortion all the time is, well, the Supreme Court's rule, that's the supreme law of the land. Or the Supreme Court's rule on marriage, that's the supreme law of the land. If you go away with nothing else from tonight, remember this little sentence.
Mm-hmm.
Five words. Judicial supremacy is a lie. Now that will be a shock to many lawyers. It was a shock to me because you see, I went through a law school that had an interest in making sure I thought the Supreme Court was supreme. And people need to understand what the supremacy clause that people throw in our face really says. And so here's what it is. It's Article 6 of the Constitution. And it says, this Constitution, the laws of the United States, which shall be made pursuant thereof. So what Congress passes, if they ever get past their dysfunction to pass something. And all treaties which the United States made, those are the supreme law of the United States. Now, we could take the rest of our time here together for you to read through that over and over and over and look for the word judicial opinions, Supreme Court opinions. But you won't find it, so just take my word for it. It doesn't exist. But that's what we do. We treat Supreme Court opinions as if they are the Constitution. I began to do some research on this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this was fascinating. Here's from New York University Law School. I didn't know this. It was not until 1834 that the court provided for the filing of its own written opinions with its own clerks. Now, if opinions were the Constitution of the United States, you'd think they'd make sure they got filed with their clerk, wouldn't you? Because otherwise, we're leaving the Constitution behind in somebody's office. And the oral opinions were not inevitably even reduced to writing. So right there, that tells you that something's amiss with what our founders would have understood about the importance of opinions, right? They're so important, we didn't even file them. And some of the oral ones, we didn't even write down.